Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church on this beautiful November 1st morning. Not too hot, not too cold, just right for us. It is also All Saints Sunday, and so we will remember those who have passed here in just a moment. A couple of announcements. Last night we had our trunk or treat, and it went well. I don't remember the exact number now because I'm terrible at remembering numbers, but I think Nancy said we had about 87 kids. So we had 103 bags, and we only had a few left. So we had about 87 kids that came through, some on foot, some in cars, but everyone seemed to have a good time and enjoy it. So thank you for everyone who donated their time or their money or candy or prayers, whatever. We appreciate it. Let's see. And Keith informed me that today is our 15th in-person worship service of the year. So that's good. Hey, it's a milestone. So this has been a strange year, but I'm very thankful that we are able to worship in person. And let's see. Bible study is still at 6. It's over at Terry and Nora Lee's house. And we just finished the book of James and started 1 Peter. So everyone is welcome to join us there. 1 Peter isn't quite as brutal as James is. So you don't have to worry about James making you mad anymore. We're done with him. So, but everyone is invited. And, of course, we will live stream it as well. I think we got all our glitches out of the way that we've been having with that. So, yes, that's a good question. Ah, there we are. Everybody, you missed the announcement. So sorry. I forgot to hit record on the live thing. No, I was just saying that we had a good trunk or treat. With 87 kids that came. 87, right? 89. Ooh, even better. We had 89. And we also have a Bible study this Wednesday at Terry and Nora Lee's house in the book of 1 Peter we've started. So everyone is welcome to come to that. Other than that, let us begin our worship service first with Keith has made a little visual for us to remember those who have passed in the last year. And so let's remember them at this moment. Roland Fuller, Helen Fisher, Larry Cassavore, which is Lynette's dad, Kathy Cassavore, which is Lynette's grandmother, Vicki Watts, who's just passed, and now let us begin with chiming of the hour. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, I Come With Joy. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed traditional version. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I have a few requests and a few praises. Some of you may know Linda, who goes over to Chevron. They never say it's her daughter, but I think it's her daughter. But nevertheless, little girl that she brings, JC, her mother passed away just Friday, I think it was. And I found out today that apparently she was pregnant and they were able to save the baby. But they're performing an autopsy to try and figure out what happened. I know that she's had some health issues here and there, so they're not sure what exactly happened. So keep the family in your prayers, if you will. I know that they would certainly appreciate it. Also, let's keep Larry in our prayers. He said that Alice came through her surgery well. They were concerned about the anesthesia messing with her. Have they determined if it's dementia or Alzheimer's, or does anybody know? I think, yeah, dementia. They were concerned about that because sometimes those types of drugs can really cause problems there, but she came through it fine. They said that she's like she was before, and she's doing well. So we want to keep Larry in our prayers and Alice in our prayers and the whole family. Also, if anyone would like to provide some kind of meal for them in the next few days, I know that Ann contacted me and said if anybody would like to. Just let her know. I think Sharon was providing a meal, and Terry is providing a meal for today. But if anyone else would like to provide a meal, you can contact me, you can contact Ann, you can contact Larry, whoever, and we'll get you the information as far as all that's concerned. So Larry has his father living with him as well, for those of you who don't know, and so he's very busy at the moment. So we keep them in your prayers, if you will. Also, As you saw on there, if you haven't heard yet, Vicki Watts passed away the other day. She had a heart attack, and the funeral was yesterday. And James is okay. He told me yesterday that it still hasn't hit him just yet. So just keep him in your prayers, if you will. I know he would appreciate it. That's right. He's getting ready to have back surgery as well. So keep him in your prayers for that also. And then Jane over at Chevront, she didn't tell me the name, but a friend of hers, her son died in a car accident yesterday, did she say? Clayton, do you remember? Thursday? Okay, Thursday. And I'm guessing he's roughly my age. He's at least between mine and Clayton's age is what I gathered. So just keep them in your prayers. Keep that family in your prayers. And also Jane and Bud, because as many of you know, they lost their son earlier this year. And it's kind of brought up, you know, that kind of stuff for them as well. And then some really good news. Mary Ann is doing much better. And have they brought her back yet? Yeah, okay. So they brought her back to Victorian Square, but they're moving her to Kingston. What's the name of that facility?
Jamestown.
Okay, so she has to test negative. She had COVID-19, and I guess she's still recovering from it. So she has to test negative before she can go over there. She'll need a little bit of help moving. Mostly she has a twin-size hospital bed, and that's the biggest thing. So if anyone would like to help us with moving her, just let me know. And when we find out when she's moving and all that, then I'll let you know when it is and all that kind of stuff. So, and then Wanda is waiting to hear back about her knee. It's been bothering her quite a bit, and she's supposed to be getting testing and stuff like that done. And it's one of those where the hospital's supposed to call you, but they don't, so you call the hospital, and they say, well, we'll call you. So, you know, it's one of those things. So in the meantime, Wanda is fairly miserable, so just keep her in your prayers, if you will. And then also some more good news. My mom and my stepdad, who had tested positive for COVID, they're doing a lot better. I talked to my mom yesterday, and she said they feel a lot better. They can actually move and not feel like, you know, they just went 10 rounds with the last 10 heavyweight champions of the world. And so they're doing much better. They appreciate your prayers. And she asked if you would continue to pray for her friend Glenda, because Glenda's husband is still in the hospital. He's doing better, but they're not ready to release him. And then a prayer request and a praise. Paul Kamikawa was diagnosed with COVID-19. Christy got it first. Paul tested negative a couple times, and then he tested positive. And they had to rush him to UT, wasn't it? To UT last night. But, excuse me, they didn't have to keep him. They gave him some breathing treatments, and they did some chest x-rays, and the chest x-rays appeared clear, so they released him. So that's good that he's doing well enough. They didn't feel like they needed to keep him, but please continue to pray for them. Last I heard, Jordan doesn't have it yet, so and hopefully he won't get it at all. So does anyone have any other requests or praises they'd like to share with us? Yes, oh wait. Wow. contagious?
No.
Okay. Wow. All right. It is, absolutely. We'll pray for all of those things. Thank you, Don. Lynette, you had one? Okay. For those of you who don't know, Lynette's Uncle Eddie is it the same cancer? It's similar, I know. Yeah, similar, more aggressive. And so he's essentially in hospice care. And so if you will keep the family in your prayers, especially her Aunt Charlene, which is Eddie's wife, because she lost her brother earlier this year. And then, of course, Lynette's grandmother, who is her stepmother, and her husband is very ill, and her best friend is also very ill. So she's just having a really rough time herself in the midst of all this. So if y'all will keep them in your prayers. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us today as we attempt, with your help, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, you've heard that there are so many requests today. People have passed away, and we pray for comfort for those who have lost loved ones. Lord, we have many people who are sick, not just with the virus that's on everybody's mind, but with other things that happen in life. And so we pray that you would be in those situations, that you would provide comfort, healing, and strength, and wisdom and discernment from doctors and nurses. We pray, Lord, for all of the different things that Don was telling us about with his family and just all that has happened. We pray for all those situations, Lord. Lord, we pray for Larry, and we thank you that Alice came through her surgery fine, and we pray that she would heal quickly and well, and we pray that everything would go well for them as they adjust to having Larry's dad there in the house as well. Lord, we also want to pray for Marianne, that she would have a negative COVID test soon, that she would be able to move to a new facility. And we thank you for the miracles that you have done in her life. We pray for her family as they attempt to do what is best for her. Lord, we also want to pray for our nation. This week, of course, is election week, and we want to make sure that we pray for our country, that whatever the outcome of the election, that there would not be all the things that have come with this year, the unrest and the violence, and that whoever wins the election, Lord, help us to remember that Christ is King. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we are heading into the Christmas season, may we be reminded that he's the Prince of Peace as well. Lord, we pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's see. As you're able to, please stand for our next hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. And just as a reminder, we have baskets here in the front and they're right at the narthex that you can put your offering in. You can also contribute online. At the top of our Facebook page is a pinned post telling you how to do that. And you can also drop any payments off in the mailbox or mail it. The mailbox is secure. And Wanda and I are here a few times during the week, so it gets checked. But let's say a prayer over our tithes and offerings at this time. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded as always that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide. They make the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. This passage is kind of an interesting passage because it's a really controversial passage, even though it's not intended to be. It certainly was controversial in Jesus's time. But in our nowadays time, it really shouldn't be, but it is. And that's because we've lost a little bit of what Jesus is trying to teach us here. One of the important things that you do whenever you're understanding the Bible and you're doing biblical interpretation is you try and figure out what did this mean to the original audience, right? From there, you can get other meanings and understand things. But if you don't know what it means in the original audience, it doesn't really matter. So, what's going on here? What is Jesus saying? The first part of it is pretty simple. Jesus is telling them, listen, if the Pharisees tell you something about the law, listen to them. That's their job, right? They're good at the law. That's what they do. But don't do what they do. In other words, don't let the fact that they're hypocrites keep you from listening to their wisdom, but also don't be hypocrites like them, right? Now, one of the things that's always interested me is that people who have critiques of religion, any kind of religion really, but especially because of our culture, Christianity, is that they seem to know what the hypocrites are doing wrong. And that's their motivation for not following Jesus. But if you know what they're doing wrong, shouldn't you just do what's right? I mean, that would seem like the logical thing, right? You have Gandhi's famous quote. He says, "I love your Christ, I do not like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ." That's a fair criticism. That's also kind of the point. Yes, we're supposed to follow Jesus. Christian means little Christ, but you know, sometimes we don't get it right. That's the point, right? That we're not going to get it right. Without Jesus, we don't have any hope, really. But the problem I've always really had with Gandhi's quote is that Gandhi can recognize that Christians struggle to follow Christ, and yet he doesn't follow Christ. That to me is its own hypocrisy. I can point out what you're doing wrong, but I'm not willing to show you how to do what's right. That's really how it comes off, whether he intended it that way or not. But Jesus says, you know, the Pharisees, they know the law. They know what it says. Believe them, trust them to tell you what the law says. He says, but don't follow their example. Some of the things that he says they do is they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders. That is what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees took the law and they just added a bunch of stuff to it so you make sure that you never actually violated the law. It's sort of like if you have trouble with saving money, if you take your money and you throw it down a well and you cement the well up, well then yeah, you won't have any problem saving that money, but the problem is now you have no access to that money. And you haven't really done anything other than throw money away. That's really all you've done. So that's kind of what the Pharisees have done. They said, okay, the law says this, so let's add all this stuff up so you'll never be able to violate the law because you can't even get to the law. But then they're worse than that. They won't even help you. They judge you for not being able to do what they already made it impossible to do. Think about the difference between God and the law and people and the law. Even in our current day, we have Pharisees in Christianity. I don't know if y'all know that, but we do. We have Pharisees in Christianity. I saw just the other day, you've probably heard some of the stuff going on with Jerry Falwell Jr. and the scandal that has arisen from him. Well, now he's suing Liberty University, the university he was president of and that his father founded, for defamation of character. Because he made bad decisions and Liberty held him accountable. It's their fault, right? That's pretty silly. Honestly, I have more respect for Jim Baker because Jim Baker did wrong, but at least he admits he did wrong. You know? At least he admits he was wrong to do it. But this is what Jesus is talking about. This idea of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Jerry Falwell Jr.'s school that he was over, that he was president of, he broke all the rules that their students were supposed to uphold. And so in what Jesus is talking about here, he is truly a Pharisee. Because he added rules that weren't in Scripture, expected people to be held accountable for them, didn't expect himself to be held accountable, but showed no mercy. And yet wants mercy. Versus what does God do? God says this is the law. Guess what? You can't fulfill it. So I give you grace and mercy. Not that you shouldn't try. You absolutely should try. But you should try out of love. Not out of a sense of duty. So Jesus says, listen to what the Pharisees say. Don't do what they do. He says some other things they do. Look at what they do. They do stuff for everybody to see. They make their phylacteries wide. Phylacteries were things that they wore on their wrists or their forehead that held scripture inside of them. And they would make them big so everybody could see. Look at this holy man walking. He must have a lot of scripture in there. All you've got to put in there is like the Shema, which is Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. That thing's so big, man, how much scripture must he have, you know, bound to him? He says, they make the tassels on their garments long. Tassels on your garment were to show your wisdom and your achievements and all these kinds of things. And he said, look at them. Boy, they make theirs long, right? It's sort of like everybody knows what stolen valor is, right? That's where you never went into the military, but you wear a uniform and you got a chest full of medals that you never earned. It's called stolen valor. It's a pretty big deal if people who are in the military or people who have loved ones that were in the military, find out, they get really mad about it, and rightfully so. I'm sorry, if you didn't deserve the Medal of Honor, don't wear the Medal of Honor. It's just that simple. But that's what the Pharisees are doing. Hey, everybody, look at these tassels. These tassels are great. Look how holy I am. And people say, wow, he must be holy. And Jesus says, but he's doing it to impress you. God doesn't care about how long your tassels are or how wide your phylacteries are. God couldn't care less. He says, they love places of honor at banquets. They love the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect, to be called a rabbi. You ever encountered pastors that insist that you call them pastor or reverend or whatever name they want to be called? I have. Maybe some of you have, maybe some of you haven't. I've encountered people like that. And it seems like the people with the less difficult, I guess, title to get are the ones who insist on it the most. Somebody who has a Doctor of Letters, which is an honorary doctorate, which is bestowed to you for various reasons, but you don't actually do the work, they will make sure that you know that you address them as Doctor so-and-so. Whereas people with earned PhDs and such just say, you know what, just call me whatever, you know. Most of my professors in school would say, you can call me by my first name unless somebody important is in here, and then call me Doctor just because they care, I don't care. But the people with Doctor of Letters, I'm Doctor. Don't call me anything but Doctor. Okay. Jesus says they do everything to look good to other people. Don't worry about other people. But then we get into the part that gets controversial. He says, don't let people call you rabbi. Don't let people call you teacher. Because you're all brothers. Now, some people have taken this to mean that if you call somebody a teacher, you're committing a sin. But in context, what Jesus is saying is they're allowing titles to make themselves better than other people. It's a pride issue. It's not a title issue, it's a pride issue. So he says, your brothers, remember your brothers, remember your sisters, you are all Christians. Remember that. No matter how much education you get, no matter how holy you are, remember that you're all workers in the vineyard. He says, don't call anybody on earth father. You have one father, and he is in heaven. Now, this is where people get really upset, because Catholics call priests father, right? And they say, well, it says right here, see, that's one of those reasons why Catholics. No, it's not. Again, it's about humility. Father, they call Catholic priests, not because you're supposed to act like they're your father, but because they're supposed to remember that they are supposed to act towards their parishioners as a father acts towards his children. That's that title is. It's got nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about pride. Catholic priests being called father, it's supposed to be about humility. He says, nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. And again, he's not saying, don't call people instructor. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, again, it's about pride and humility. An instructor is somebody who is very wise. Guess what? We're all wise until we're not, right? Some of the wisest people in this world have done some of the dumbest things in this world. That's just a fact of life. You know? Jesus is saying instead, the greatest among you will be your servant. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's really simple, brothers and sisters. Just at the beginning of our service, we remembered the saints from earlier that have passed this past year. Today's All Saints Day. We call it All Saints Day to remind us of something. In Christ, we are all saints. And again, yes, some people point out, well, the Catholic Church, they have, yes, they do. It's an honor that they afford people after they have passed for meeting certain criteria. But it doesn't mean we're not all saints. It's just an honor that's bestowed. But we're all saints, not because of what we've done, but because Christ has made us so. Saint means holy. Holy means set apart. Christ has set us apart from the world. This entire passage is about hypocrisy, but it's also about humility. It's not intended to be something that divides us. It's supposed to be something that unites us. It reminds us, no matter what we think we know, we worship God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you on this All Saints Day. Look at your own selves. Look at our inner selves and say, who am I trusting in? Am I trusting in God? Am I trusting in myself? Am I trusting in someone else? And change accordingly. Because we're called Christians, little Christs. And that's our greatest name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to remain humble. Help us, Lord, to remember that no matter what we attain in this world, it's nothing compared to the free gift that we have been given through Christ Jesus. May we truly be saints. And may we truly do your work in this world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking those blessings, may you share them with all that you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.